Hey everybody, it's Brian. Before I did this Seahawks stuff full-time, I worked as a manager and senior leader, so I know how lonely it can be to try to find someone you trust to talk through people issues, org issues, process issues as you try to lead an organization. Ryan Cleveland of RyanCleveland.com is someone I trust to have those conversations with. He specializes in working with CEOs and business owners, and you can get a complimentary free discovery session to see if it's a good fit for you. Just go to RyanCleveland.com to sign up and start now. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Real Hawk Talk. I am Brian Nemhauser. You can find me and this show and all that we do at Hawk Blogger, pretty much everywhere, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and thankfully not on random streams, which we will talk about in a little bit. With me tonight, our good pals, Evan Hill at Evan Hill HB and Jeff Simmons at Real Jeff Simmons. We have a special time tonight to make sure we could get it all in. And I want to wish everyone who's celebrating a happy Hanukkah for those out there doing that. And we got some news. We'll get to it in a second. But before I do, let me welcome in the fellas. Evan, man, how are you doing on this fine Wednesday? It's Wednesday. Day before game day.
It's Wednesday. And it kind of these like really intense Thursday night football games, and frankly, a Seahawks game so important that I'm struggling to remember, the most recent equally or more important Seahawks football game in a while. It's kind of thrown my rhythm and like my routine off of schedule this week. I'm doing things that I shouldn't be doing, like spending more time online, reading the internet, reading dumb things about Puka Nacua. Like it messes up my entire routine, uh-huh. Frankly. So I'm in a state of high anxiety, if I'm honest with you.
I'm glad to hear that. That means it matters. And I honestly, there's no other people I'd rather be hanging out with for the next hour than you two. Jeff Simmons, where are you, man? How's life for you?
I'm good. I'm still out in Florida. I'm still in the States. So my internet looks better. You can actually see my face tonight. I'm not blurry right now, so I'm kind of with Evan. I feel this whole week's kind of felt weird, where it's like me and Evan are in a fantasy football league, and it's usually like the best part of the year, and we're in the semis, and like I don't really know what day it is right now because I'm also on vacation, and this Thursday night game is just like lingering in my mind. I've spent too much time on my phone today just like reading all the stuff we're going to talk about, and like I haven't felt like this for a Seahawks game in – even maybe during some of the playoff games they've had, like I haven't felt this uncomfortable and anxious in a while. It feels like how we felt before the draft, honestly.
Are you guys watching the game alone or with people?
I'll be at the game.
Oh, you'll be at the game. So you'll be with people.
I'll be with a few people. Yeah.
Jeff, how about you?
I'm going to be with members of my family. So I'm going to try to hide, but I don't know how well that's going to go.
Oh man.
And I would like to be alone, but I don't think it's going to work so well. And I don't know how long I'm going to take that.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I was just telling the guys before we started here live streaming that I had invited some friends to come watch it, but they were out of town for Christmas visiting family. And I'm going to be watching it alone in probably not silence, but I might not be like a healthy person on Thursday night. So I just need to limit my exposure to other people, I think, in like a great act of, self-awareness, I guess you could say. So that's what I'm doing.
There's so much I want to talk to you guys about. Let me get some of the news right out of the way, because this is pretty recent news. Charles Cross for the Seahawks, left tackle, will not play. Was ruled out by the Seahawks just about an hour ago, and Josh Jones will start in his place at left tackle. We'll talk about that. The Rams have listed Devontae Adams as doubtful for this game. Not out, but doubtful, and he did not practice today. Braden Fisk, their defensive tackle, listed as questionable with an ankle injury. He did not practice all week, including today. It is notable that I don't think he has missed a game yet in his career, so they may try to get him out there anyway, but he did not practice. So that's the injury news of note. The other, I guess you could call it news, is that the Rams plane was delayed. Adam Schefter's reporting that there was mechanical issues and there could be a significant delay of them getting into Seattle. I gotta say, like, who gives a shit? Like, it's a 2.5 hour flight from LA to see. This isn't like they're going to London and like, what is this gonna freaking matter? Like, why are we making this like a thing? Like that they're overcoming the big adversity of a flight delay.
I mean, is it even 2.5 hours? I think it's like an hour and a half, right?
Well, hour even and a half to Northern California. They're coming from SoCal, right? So it's probably 2.5. But whatever, 2.5 hours. I mean, come on. Like, what does this mean? Like, how does this affect anything other than just being a little annoyed?
Do you guys remember hearing that story about how Pete Carroll had put, like, there was some story that came out a couple of years ago about how, like, the Seahawks, like, helped coordinate the Rams into, like, a hotel. And they had put them in a hotel with like a bunch of furries. Like there was a furry convention.
Yes.
Hear that? Or am I hallucinating this?
No, you're right.
I'm hoping Mike does something similar. Like that. That's something that's funny. I like that stuff.
That would be funny. Well, you know, there could be enough time for Puka Nacua to fit in another live stream if their flight's delayed.
Maybe they try. Maybe he tries to get Aiden Ross into the stadium. Maybe he tries to get him into the locker room.
Maybe Aiden Ross will fly the whole team down. Who knows?
I mean, we're going to walk a fine line on this topic because I do insist on generally for our show that we keep it to football and we don't get into all the other stuff. But this is a pretty big story. Like on a short week for the number one seed, Puka Nacua going on a live stream saying some stuff about refs that I think the NFL is not going to like, that they basically just make calls so that they get on TV and text their friends. And then also, you know, being told and convinced to do an anti-Semitic celebration. And he also tried to get these guys to come to the Rams facility to do the live stream, and the Rams denied him. This is after this guy has tried to live stream from the locker room and did live stream from the locker room and his after a game and his colleague, his teammates were like, what are you doing, dude? I've always thought Puka Nacua is a pretty good guy. Like I always thought he's kind of jovial and nice and whatever, but these are kind of villain tactics that are going on here. Jeff, I'm curious what your thoughts were.
Yeah, it's just like you said, it's strange because like coming out of his Hawaii and his background, he was a really wholesome character. And like, I know Mina and some of the other people have done a lot of stories on like his path to the NFL. And he really was like a wholesome guy. And Cooper Kupp probably has talked about that too. And I don't know what's happened in the last couple months or the last year, but I thought the Indianapolis writer from The Athletic, who you've had on, James Boyd, I think his name is, he described this, he's really feeling himself these days. I thought that was a really elegant way to say it. Because there's just been some things that just have not fit his character. The way he talked about Darnold after the first game, the live streaming, this, and some of, like, who he's having on that stream. Like, and the thing that makes it so clear to me is, like, look, it's one thing for Seahawks fans to slide, but I saw Rams fans, like, very uncomfortable with this. I know Evan's probably deep in Rams Reddit or something. That's not an area I typically go in. But I put out a tweet and I saw all these Rams fans who were first coming at me. And I'm like, look, your fan base isn't happy with this guy either. And so, look, we've seen a lot of receivers change once they start becoming stardom. And we saw with T.O., he was a pretty quiet guy. And I don't want to say he's becoming T.O. or Antonio Brown or anything like that. I mean, it's probably crossing the line. But something just feels different about him. He was that wholesome, feel-good story, fifth-round pick that made it. And I don't know if this is his game plan or is just getting to his head, but he just seems like a different dude.
Well, I'll take it a step further. There was a report that came out today from some LA beat reporters that Puka had tried to get Aiden and several of the other streamers, I think his name's Neon or something, into their team facility, and Sean McVay shut that down and was pretty unhappy about it. So it's not just like Seahawks fans or divisional rivals are causing a storm here. Like, no, this is making the rounds. And, you know, even I saw some responses on Twitter that, like, from Rams fans who were saying, like, only Niner fans and Seahawks fans are talking about this. No, like, guys, the national media is talking about this. Like, you live in a bubble if you think it's just like a divisional rival dust up here. This is getting, there's a crossover here between, like, it's very interesting. It's a crossover between, like, Twitch and streaming culture, which, like, not even millennials, Gen Z and Gen A are super into, and then also football culture. It's, you know, I will say this, I actually follow Twitch culture, like, religiously, because I find the drama, like, really, it's like my secret little almost guilty sin. Guilty pleasure. I love Twitch, like, drama with these, like, weird internet celebrities. I know way too much. It's like really deranged, of me. I'm so serious. Yeah. So you just got to understand here, guys, like, for some of the people who don't follow, like, Twitch culture, some of our followers here, Aiden Ross is, like, I'm going to put this very charitably. Okay. He's a very, very controversial figure. Like, he has aligned himself with some very, very controversial people who have said some really bad things, and he's not well liked uniformly. So I guess I would say this, Puka, you're young, you're rich, you're extremely talented, you're a handsome dude, you've got it all going on. If I was, like, his friend or his dad, I would just tell him this, like, you can find better friends than Aiden
you're
Ross.
You're better than that. Like, you're better than that, dude.
Absolutely. You can find better friends than Aiden Ross. I promise. Get a better friendship circle. Like, I think those people influence you, especially when you're young in your early 20s. Like, he's got all the talent in the world, all the potential. I actually think it'd be more fun as a rival to see him live up to that potential in the NFC West. It would be painful. It would suck. He'd kill us at times, but, like, this is not the route. So I hope he finds better friends.
Yeah, no, that's really well said. And you know, like, we've rooted against Larry Fitzgerald, like, one of the best receivers in the history of the NFL. He didn't go down the kind of villain route. We've seen some others that do. And, like, Brandon Ayuk and what's been going on with him, I don't know if that's villainous or not. In 49ers world, it is. But you do see this very specifically with the receiver position. And it's one of the things, while watching Jaxon Smith-Njigba this year kind of explode into that stratosphere of receivers, it's kind of like, all right, how is he going to handle this? And my God, the guy's been just such a class act. It doesn't mean he will always be, but you contrast that. And, like, I think about a guy like Puka, and in these clips, he seems like he's trying to impress these guys.
Totally.
It's like, dude, you're an NFL superstar. You don't need to impress anybody. They should be trying to impress you. And so, anyway, that's all I got to say. I honestly wish Puka well. I've actually liked watching him play. I respect the way he's played the game of football. I did not like the way he trolled Sam Darnold after the last game when the Rams were completely shut down on offense. Yeah. And he did not do that much in that game. And he fumbled in that game. I'm like, you were lucky to win, man. Like, Don't bring that. So that's when I started to wonder, like, what's going on over there. And, you know, let's just hope for the entertainment sake of football that he doesn't keep going down that route.
Can I say this, though? Like, objectively, if you're Sean McVay, if you're the owner of the Los Angeles Rams, if you're their GM, do you think this type of content over the past week is something they desire going into Thursday night football? Away bitter divisional rival for the number one seed. Like, is that something they want in the media this week?
I imagine Sean McVay's already pretty tired. He had a kid this week. And he's probably on no sleep.
Exactly.
I imagine he's pretty short fused preparing for Mike McDonald, who has given him trouble. And this is obviously a huge game. They've been an incredible team this year. They're going for the number one seed. I imagine he's really pissed off. I imagine he's really pissed.
The vibes around this are just bad. I'm just telling you, like, it kind of, I'll be honest with you, Jets. Like, I, especially with the Charles Cross news being out, like, when I think about this game, like, logically, there's a lot of arguments in my head for why Seattle should lose this game.
Sure.
Like, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but the vibes are telling me otherwise. And I don't know how to, like, bring those two together. So I don't know if you guys are in the same place or not, but that's where my head's at.
I want to hear where you guys are at on that, because So I was just at the facility and first watched practice, or like watched the beginning of practice. And then we had an hour and a half to wait before we got to talk to Mike McDonald. And so I was like, I don't know. I ended up just rewatching the game, the first game between these two teams. And I watched it in condensed form. So I didn't watch, like, listen to all the commentary and all that stuff. But I'll tell you this, I had not watched that game a second time until today. And there's been enough time since then, and the Seahawks have played enough games. It was a weird experience. It was so weird to watch that game when Sam Darnold had maybe, you know, his worst game as a Seahawk and all those things, and walk away from it feeling like, God, the Seahawks kind of dominated that game. And Sam Darnold, this was the most surprising thing. Sam Darnold looked more confident in that game than I think I've seen him over the last 4 weeks, which is concerning a little bit. Like, anyway, so like I was so blocked out or blacked out from watching all the interceptions and being so upset. I don't think I fully really absorbed all the other things that happened in that game. And the Seahawks pretty much won all phases of that other than those four plays.
And that's kind of where you struggle, because Brian, I saw you tweeting at Ben Solak yesterday, and where he put out a stat that I think Darnold is one of the best tight window throwers in the league heading into that game. And since then, I believe he's 0-for-9, I saw. And he talked about how if you feel like the offense looks different, that's because it is. And then Brian, you wrote back and you kind of summed up what everyone's wondering is, are the coaches the one who are pulling them back? And, or is he the one scared? Because that game just had a lingering effect on him, his confidence, and he really hasn't looked the same since the last three games. They've had 6 points of offense every game at the first half. And really, we haven't seen the heavy personnel, deep shots. They haven't looked the same. And when you combine the up and down running game, it's just, we want to see, like, yeah, the interceptions were bad, but the version of Darnold we saw in Washington where he looked like the MVP of the league, that's just evaporated. And look, me and Evan have been saying this for a while. They have a championship defense. They have a championship special teams. It's the offense. It's the one thing that's wondering. And this is such a big game for Darnold coming out that last game. But if he can at least get back to some of the stuff he's doing, he's an inch away from hitting Rashid Shaheed for a game-winning touchdown in that game where Forbes makes. And Forbes has been awful since then. He got a ton of praise after that game. And since then, he's been so bad. And the Lions had some really good success kind of going after them. And they've had trouble covering receivers. The Panthers game, he got exposed a bunch. And so I don't know what Seahawks team we're going to see on offense, especially pull Charles Cross out, and the up and down running game. It's such a mystery because the defense was so damn good that first time.
I just don't know who this offense is.
That's
like,
the problem.
It's like, what can they hang their hat on? Because like the first 8 or 9 weeks, it was their passing game. Darnold was making turnovers, but he was making tight window, big time throws at a pretty insane rate. JSN was on a heater. The run game was like suspect, not good, but like kind of at times would show like some signs of potential. Now they've slowed down materially since the Rams game, passing wise. I don't trust them to show up. The run game looked pretty bad, guys, recently, last week. And I just don't know what to expect. Like, who are we going to get offensively on Thursday night? And that gives me a lot of concern. So I don't know what to say.
Yeah, well, there's one thing that's going on for sure. And that is that heading into that Rams game, the Seahawks were facing heavy boxes. Like they were facing extra defenders in the box. When they would go heavy with two tight ends or with a fullback, mm-hmm. the defense was matching. And the Seahawks were completely taking advantage of that on play action, early down passing. That was it. They were like explosive. And we talked about it. It wasn't like it was a secret. The Rams in that game, they played 22.9%. stacked box, which was the lowest number up until that week. Do you want to guess what percentage stacked boxes the Colts played in this game on Sunday? 22.9 was the low up until week 11. What was the Colts?
Oh, I don't know.
Take a guess.
15?
15 is a good guess.
It's low.
It is, you want to guess?
10.1%.
Good guess.
The percentage of stacked boxes, they played that's what the running game looked like?
And that's what the running game looked like.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
That's bad.
That is really bad.
It's really, really bad. The Titans, by the way, the week after the Rams game, they played 20%. The Vikings, for what it's worth, were at 50%. And then the Falcons were at 31%. So the Falcons and the Vikings were kind of similar. But the Colts, like, they're like, we don't believe you guys can run. And they had 3 yards rushing in the first half. So some of that, though, I do wonder. That was one of the only games the Seahawks were playing from behind the whole time.
And the field position was tough in a lot of the first half, especially. They were just getting bad field position every time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's part of what you're sensing, Evan, is okay, now they're leaving all these defenders in the secondary and they're daring you to run and you're still not running well. And now you're missing your left tackle. And it's so frustrating that it happens on a field goal on the last play. Like, what a stupid, stupid thing to happen. And Josh Jones. Yeah, go ahead.
Do we get a sense of how bad the Charles Cross injury is? Like, is this a 1 week off or is this multiple
Mike
weeks?
Mike McDonald did not have a timeline to offer. I don't think it's going to be that serious. But I honestly thought there was a chance he was going to play today or tomorrow. I thought there was a chance. And Mike McDonald said that as much on Monday. Okay. So I don't know. I'm not super worried about the long term. But the fact of the matter is this game's tomorrow and this game's it's not everything. It's a lot. Right. So I want to offer a little bit about Josh Jones. And we can kind of keep talking about the offense and just the teams. But. Josh Jones was a third round pick for the Cardinals years ago out of Houston and played for them actually a few different years. His last year for Arizona was really the last year he played significant snaps, like over 200 snaps. And he was actually pretty good, like at left tackle. He went to Houston, did not do as well there. A lot of places people are not doing well there. And then he started getting used at right tackle, and he is not a good right tackle. Like, I don't think he's nearly as comfortable at right tackle. He's basically a left tackle. So the good news is he's going to be playing his preferred position. The other good news I would say is Charles Cross did miss time during training camp with that thumb injury. I don't know if people remember. He was out for a lot of training camp and out for all of preseason. So Josh Jones did a lot of reps at left tackle during that time, and I thought played pretty well in preseason for whatever preseason reps are worth. But guys, what's your concern level about, like, how much do you think that's going to mean going against Jared Verse and Byron Young and whoever else they decide to throw at him?
I have a vision of like Jared Verse doing like a bull rush against Josh Jones and it just ending very poorly. So that's where my brain goes. It's not a positive thought, but like, I don't know. Jeff, what's your take?
Well, I remember the one snap Jared Verse had against Christian Haynes when Gray Zabel went out of that game. It left Brian almost into another level. We all thought Zabel was done for the season at that point. But, yeah, my concern level is pretty high. I think because of the weather, because of the Rams, this is going to be a line of scrimmage game. And Matt Hasselbeck was on Brian's show the day after that game where everyone was hammering Darnold. And his take was a lot of the issues were pass pro issues. And we're not quite at the offensive line levels we've been in the last 10 years. But one of the stories that no one's really talking about is the offensive line as a whole has kind of deteriorated over the last 4 to 5 weeks. They just haven't looked very good in run blocking and pass blocking. And Darnold has looked far less comfortable, I think, as the line has gone. And I think a lot of people who watched the film against the Colts were pretty surprised how uncomfortable the offensive line was. And I think taking Cross out in a team that they can really control the line of scrimmage, especially with power and it makes me very uncomfortable, especially when the offense hasn't been able to run the ball. We don't know how well they're going to hold up in pass pro, even with Cross there. Yeah, I don't feel great about that, considering that's such a big deal, and they can blow up so much of what they do, and the quick game has not been a great thing for them. I think Evan actually was a huge Josh Jones fan in the draft when I think our first draft show. I think Evan really wanted the Seahawks to draft Josh Jones back in the day.
Really? Are you being serious?
I think like the first draft show we did in 2020, Evan was a big Josh Jones fan.
Oh, God. I love that you have that memory because I do not remember that, but I trust you.
That was the Russell Wilson era. We needed to protect him better.
So hold up. What's the weather report? Because I see a lot of conflicting reports, and I need an on-the-ground Seattle resident, Brian Nemhauser, to confirm the details for me.
All right, I will give you the very latest. I go to NOAA, National Weather Service, because there's no ads, and it's like scientists that actually like study the weather. So I trust their forecast the most. And they have a hourly weather forecast, and I'm looking right now at Thursday at 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. And it is looking like, you know, there is a chance for occasional rain for throughout that game. And there's going to be wind, sustained wind around 10 to 15 with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. I think the wind may end up being a bigger factor than the rain, but yeah, people that are saying there's no precipitation expected are just looking at Apple Weather. And
Weather app is garbage.
It's garbage.
You might as well be reading like from North Korea's weather panel. it is so inconsistent. It's horrible.
Pretty bad. So yeah, it's pretty bad. Like right now, it's actually fine. It's not raining at all. But it's supposed to be pretty bad.
This is my concern. Weather gets bad, ball is slippery, wind is a little stronger than we anticipate. Seattle needs to be able to run the ball effectively. Can they run the ball effectively?
Is that the only way? So let's paint a picture. Like, let's think about our history together for a second. Mm-hmm. Thursday night football last year. How did the Rams and 49ers look on a Thursday night division game late in the season when the weather was bad?
That was the worst game ever.
I literally don't even remember what happened.
It was awful. It was so bad. I mean, I will pull up Matt Stafford's numbers from that game, but they weren't pretty, and neither was Brock Purdy's. It was
Purdy.
Was 12-6.
This was Rams Niners last year?
Yeah, it was a horrible
Rams Niners last year. Matt Stafford was 16 of 27 for 160 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He threw a bunch of should have been interceptions.
Wait, this was Thursday night football?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sitting his ass tomorrow night in fantasy, Jeff. He is not playing. No shot because he's my quarterback.
Oh, God, you asshole. I can't believe you.
I'm sitting him because I'm rooting for the Seahawks, obviously. Okay,
good. Well, so I also want to call your attention to a game Thursday night football last year that I'm sure you've tried to flush when the Seahawks played the Bears.
Oh my fucking
Chicago on Thursday night. What was the score of that game?
6-3. I have trauma.
Well, let's talk about this, guys, because it could be very well be a game like that. A lot of Thursday night games late in the season, hard fought. Like, this might not – people are, like, talking about 30-point games and stuff. I'm like,
oof. Yeah.
This could be a defensive game, and it could be about a turnover, which has not been the Seahawks, you know, benefit so far, but maybe it is this time.
This could be a big, big Jason Myers night.
Evan, do you even know – I don't think I've heard this from you. Jeff, do you know – do you know that Jason Myers is closing in on an NFL record? Do you know
for
this?
For most points in a season?
Most field goals in a season.
Wow.
He's 8 field goals away.
Oh, he's getting that.
I hope not, because one, you'd be insufferable. But two, you know, that would mean the Seahawks are not scoring enough touchdowns. But as a new Jason Myers supporter, right? I published my apology form in my article this week. Yes.
Oh, I didn't see it. Wow. I got to go check that out.
It's your apology form, dude. I just filled it out.
I know. I can't believe you published it.
I did. I absolutely did. I'm impressed. People wanted their own apology forms to fill out. But
I love it.
My point is, I don't know that the offense needs to be great. Maybe it can be what it's been.
So how many points wins the game? Like what does Seattle need to score? Where you're like beyond a reasonable doubt, they've won the game.
I don't know if that's how I can think about it. Like,
yeah,
I 20 know. Points, Jeff. And it's like, do I really feel like that's enough? I don't know.
The Rams are such enough. A good offense. I think it scored 20 points easily.
Yeah.
Jeff, what do you think?
I have no idea how to answer that question. It depends on what the game. I don't think that, like, with most games, I can have a clear answer for that. But this Rams team is so explosive on offense, and they're such a good running team right now. Their success rate is insane. I don't know if there's an answer to that. I think it depends on what the weather turns out, and it depends on the game.
I'll tell you what I'll tell you my honest instinct answer, Evan. Mm-hmm. I think 17 points wins this game.
Oh, man. You're really confident.
I'm not really confident, but that's my impression. That's my feel for Thursday night football, how teams look this late in the year, divisional contest. It's going to be super physical. I think you're going to get a lot of conservative stuff going on, and you've got Davante Adams probably not playing. Like,
yeah,
we've talked a lot about Charles Cross. Davante Adams not playing, even if he does play and is whatever, like, that's a really big deal.
Mm-hmm. I'm just in a state of anxiety about this. I want the one seed really bad.
Why? Other than the obvious, why you put it that way?
Because if they secure the one seed, I think there's a real shot they at minimum go to the NFC Championship game, and they're probably Super Bowl attendees. And that would be crazy. Like, this is a team, guys, that has not materially competed in the playoffs in like approaching a decade.
Yeah.
Like that, yeah. Like really, like what the last one, when was the Eagles?
2019, 18,
something like that. Like back half of the teens. Like it's just, I'm playoff starved. I want to win a playoff game. I want the joy of postseason success again. Like we're kind of in a lull here. Like it's adding up.
It is.
This feels like the escape from the lull, though. I feel like this isn't just a one-year thing. I feel like there's so many. Evan, you texted us the other day. There's so much young talent on this team.
There is.
It hasn't been there. Like we've been convincing ourselves into blue-chip players for years, and DK Metcalf. Maybe this is the year for DK Metcalf, or maybe this is the year for Reek Woolen. And there's multiple blue-chip level players on the team now.
What do you think? What do you think's the most critical matchup in this game? Like let's talk about like the matchups that are going to decide this, and it doesn't have to be individual players. It can be like, I'll give you one. Rams offensive line versus Seahawks defensive line is the first place my mind goes. Both of them are excellent at what they do, and I felt like the Seahawks defensive line started off struggling a little bit in that first game.
Yeah,
but then they took it to that Rams offensive line, and I don't think anyone else really has been able to do that. So I feel like we have had a Leonard Williams like showcase game in a while. This would be a fantastic night to have Leonard Williams just beast his way through this thing.
I think that's the right answer. I think when the Seahawks gave up points early last time, it took fourth downs, but they were able to run the ball pretty successfully on them in those first couple drives. And when the Seahawks took that away, after they made their adjustment, and the Rams offensive line, we were talking at the end of the year, they're going to miss their left tackle and maybe the right tackle. It's been way better than last year. And it's been a big reason no one's talked about. That's the biggest matchup of the game, I think, especially if the weather's bad, it becomes a run game. Cause I've read just their success rate in terms of running plays has been so high. And that Seahawks game seems like the outlier. We're the only ones who can really kind of take them off their game. But I think the other one, and this is probably weather dependent, is the Seahawks receivers versus the Rams corners. And we saw the Lions, St. Brown had a fan. He could have had three touchdowns. Jameson Williams dropped a big ball. I wrote the group last week. It felt like they left a lot of points on the board still. I don't know if the weather will hold up or the pass protection will hold up, but Shaheed and JSN are pretty natural comparisons to Jameson Williams and St. Brown. And we saw those guys just crush those corners last week.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, Jeff. I want to harp on it. So defensively, the Rams are in like a little bit of a slump here, guys. Mm-hmm. So they like zooming out, like I think the third or fourth most points allowed on the season. But over the last 3 to 4 weeks, I think maybe it's 3 weeks, over the last 3 weeks, they're 10th in most points allowed. Okay. And their secondary has really, really struggled. So in that Lions game, the Rams recorded nearly a plus. So plus 1.89 EPA expected points added per pass attempt from Goff on deep passes. Okay. So they, not only are they struggling to defend, you know, the deep pass, their tackling has like fallen off a cliff over the past few weeks. So week 14 against the Cardinals, they allowed 17 missed tackles, 17.
Wow.
Week 15 against the Lions, 15 missed tackles. Like, this is a game where I know it sounds kind of crazy and counterintuitive. I want Sam Darnold to regain his confidence. I don't want him to be conservative. I think you have to go for the throat.
You know what?
That's my take.
That is Evan, I'm so glad you said that. That is exactly where I'm at. Because there we're going to get to some Patreon questions in a second. There's one here from EST54, and it says, outside of winning, what is the one thing you hope the Seahawks are able to accomplish against the Rams? Mm-hmm. And my first answer is Sam Darnold getting his groove back. And
yeah,
it feels like there's a lot of ways for that to happen. That doesn't mean four touchdowns, no interceptions, and he looks like he did against the Commanders. It can just look like him playing a solid game and his team winning and just getting this kind of monkey off his back. That's all. It doesn't have to be super special, but it would be great if it was also super special.
But here's the thing. I don't think you're going to earn it by being conservative and like cowardly. Like, and I know you need to take care of the football, but like, we need a confident Sam Darnold. We need a weeks 1 through 9 confident. What week did he play the Rams? Maybe it was week 10. 11. We need 11. We need a weeks 1 through 10 confident Sam Darnold. And if we're going to go far in the playoffs, that's who we need. We don't need a guy seeing ghosts. We don't need a guy second guessing himself. He needs to take care of the football, but like, be decisive, be aggressive. Like, that's who he is.
And the one thing I've gotten to learn about Darnold in the last couple of weeks, and when they try to play like the setup, the manageable third down, he just doesn't seem good at that. He doesn't seem good at that. The little third down and 6, third down and 4. He's better when he's – and McDonald's comments after the Rams game was like, we need to keep chucking it. And we just haven't seen that. And I don't know if the coaches have yanked it back. I don't know. But last game it really sounded like, because they thought Phillip Rivers is not left, they're going to play this third and manageable game. When they have to throw to those little A.J. Barner plays or those dump-offs in the flats, Kenneth Walker's not a great receiving back. They just don't seem to have a great answer there. And I really hope that's not their plan tomorrow. The third and manageable stuff does not work. I was pissed off that Darnold was not throwing on early downs enough in the first half last week. I thought they left too many opportunities on the table. And then they did in the second half with Shaheed, and you saw they moved the ball. I think that was a mistake. And look, weather might change that tomorrow, but I think Darnold's better throwing on early downs, not getting into third and manageables, because I don't think that's going to work against this rush.
And you know what I want to see, Jeff? A lot of fucking play action. And you know what this offense needs to like excellently execute? Play action, the threat of a strong run game. Even if it's just for one night, I need K-9 and Charbs. I need the run blocking. We cannot leave yards on the field. I don't want to see K-9 tripped up on like a home
play of the game.
I cannot see K-9 doing that. I cannot see him leaving yards on the field. It pisses me off. Like, I'm so serious. Like, we need to see that threat from him.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have seen that a little differently. I understand what you guys are getting at, but I agree with you on the run game. I agree with you. I'm going to keep kind of going back to the game I just watched because it's recency in my mind, but they ran pretty well, and Kenneth Walker was a huge part of what made that game close. Not only did he have like almost 70 yards rushing, which doesn't sound like a lot, but he only had maybe, you know, 10, 12 carries, but he also had 47 yards, 45 yards receiving, and he was able to create like a safety blanket for Sam Darnold. And because of the way the Rams were playing, he had a lot of room in front of him, and he took a lot of it with him. So I think he's a really important part of this offense. The same way that you guys are talking about Sam Darnold, I feel the same way about Ken Walker. I still feel like this offense will be at its best when he is like threatening. And so I want them to keep going back to him. And that's not an anti-Zach Charbonnet. I'm fine. I thought Zach Charbonnet played a nice game against the Colts in the second half. But I don't want them to go away from Ken Walker, and I don't want them to go away from the run game.
He needs to make people miss. It's just that simple. The first play of the game, he has Mike Dugar on your other show did a really good job breaking down the film and talked about how he had a corner in space, and that should be a thing he takes advantage of. And it might have been a house call and just gets tackled. It seems like he gets tackled by the ankles way too easily. And tell him, easy for me to say from my couch, but just feels that way. And yeah, he, when the offense is going and they're getting chunk plays in the run game and Darnold is operating with a rhythm, like that Houston game, those early drives where they were just moving quick and they were moving the ball, they look unstoppable on offense. And I think if they're just going to try to win with the drop back play action game with that D-line, it's going to be really challenging. And I think they're going to need to run the ball. The Rams have been much better in run defense this year, but they sat back and begged the Seahawks to run. If they do that again, they need to be able to take advantage of those yards. He needs to make guys miss in space. That's how they're going to win this game.
Do you guys realize something? Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's zooming away from this conversation, though. So if it's pertaining to it, jump in.
All I was going to say, I don't know if this is related to that. So hopefully this isn't, you don't forget your thought, but I feel like what the Rams did in the first game is something that the Seahawks weren't expecting, for better or for worse. And the reason I say that is their DBs were sitting on routes. They were jumping routes. Matt Hasselbeck talked about this, and he talked about, well, that's one way to play, but it also sets you up for double moves and other things if that's how you're going to play it. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's more paths for the Seahawks to make an adjustment than the Rams. Like, what are the Rams going to adjust in a game where they pick the ball off four times? Are they really going to make a lot of changes to the way they played that defense? I'm guessing they feel pretty good about the way they played. So that gives, I think, the Seahawks an edge in that case of, okay, we know how you're going to play. Here's how we're going to take advantage of how you're going to play. And I think there's a chance the Seahawks might get off to a faster start because of it.
Does that make sense? Yeah, this is a big game for Clint Kubiak. I've been feeling that. He hasn't had the best last month. I think he's had some moments of halves. But, Brian, I thought you said it so well on, you know, it was your article or either on your show the other day. He's never really been in this spot. He was with the Niners when they were the super offense. And they basically had the Avengers a couple of years ago, and they didn't really have a dip. They were so good all year.
Yeah.
But the teams have adjusted to them. This is a big game, especially Chris Shula kicked his ass last time.
Yeah.
And so he needs to have a good game plan. He needs to have an adjustment ready. This is a massive game for him.
I liked what somebody just commented in the chat. It resonates with me. This needs to be a night where the Seahawks offense starts fast.
Yeah.
It cannot be a 3-point first half. Cannot be.
I think it was sure would be nice if it wasn't. I'm not convinced that's true. Like, we saw this team fall down 14-3 to this team on the road, and also 21-12 or whatever it was.
But here's the thing: it doesn't need to be that way.
It doesn't. No, of course
like,
not.
Like it, to me, it's about the process and the trajectory. I'm really worried this offense peaked at the wrong time. I'm really worried about it. And as we enter the playoffs, this home stretch, two big games after this, one seed isn't certain, even if we win this football game. Like, we need this offense to step it up and show that they can put together two consistent full halves. We just haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'm seeing some news here from Ian Rappaport, who's saying the Charles Cross injury is a 2-4 week injury, which means he's back for the playoffs at least.
That's not good. Well, I mean,
he's not for the year. Left. Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Well, that's where you want that bye if you can't, but it's going to be really.
I will say this, you get by this game, neither the Panthers nor the 49ers have a pass rush to speak of, at least on the edge, so much. So It's not as big of a deal in those games, but it's a pretty big deal in this game. And if you get a bye, then you'll definitely get him fully healthy. But that's bad news. That's not great news. So switching off of that for a second, I feel like we spent a lot of time on this show in anxiety mode and in like, gosh, we're going to have to be fortunate to win this game. I don't feel that way. I don't feel that way. I understand why people feel that way, but I think the Seahawks defense is every bit as good as the Rams offense. And I think it might be better. Like, I don't think it's crazy to say the Seahawks offense is better. The same way everyone's saying the Rams are better than the Seahawks because the Rams beat the Seahawks. Okay. The Seahawks defense beat the Rams offense worse than any other defense has all year. And Mike McDonald's done it two times in a row to Sean McVay and Matt Stafford and Puka Nacua. So I think when you have an advantage like that and you can take a team that's so used to 500 yard games and high flying, all this stuff, Matt Stafford, you go back and watch that game. He looked every bit as uncomfortable as Sam Darnold did. He did not look like himself. And if you can bring that into this game, I think you have every reason to feel like you're going to win this game at home. I really do. And the fact of the matter is the line's flipped. The Seahawks are now the favorites in this game as of today. So I don't know. I get why there's the concern. But the Seahawks haven't lost since that game either. So while it's been ugly, it's not like they've just completely fallen off a map.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's not just Seahawks fans rooting for the Seahawks on Thursday night. The Niner fans. Bang, bang, Niner gang. Bang, bang.
They're not Niner welcome. Gang.
They're rooting for us tomorrow night.
They're not welcome.
They don't want to admit it. They're rooting for the Rain City Pigeons. They are. They don't want to admit it, but they are.
By the way, the line, even after the injury news, has gone up. Like, it was, you know, ranging. There's even some places that still had the Rams as favorites. It's all the way up to 1.5. So it's completely flipped all across the board consensus from 1.5 to the Rams to 1.5. Why do you think that is? Why do you think, what's making sharps bet on the Seahawks?
Short week, injuries, DVOA, the last game.
I mean, the Davante Adams injury is pretty big. Like, that's a big deal.
It is. It's big to how they play, especially because the Seahawks did so well against the 12 personnel package and three tight ends. Well, no, the 13 personnel package.
Yeah.
And without Davante, their counterpunch has been Colby Parkinson a lot of weeks. And he had the game-winning touchdown the last time. And the Seahawks are uniquely built to defend those guys with Eamon Wari and what they can do with Witherspoon and their linebackers. This is a big game for them. But if they can cover Puka Nacua and stop the run game, and Matt Stafford hasn't played well in the bad weather.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I would not feel great betting on the Seahawks with Charles Cross out against that Rams D-line.
I will say this. I can't explain the logic behind this, but there's like 5% of me that wonders how significant the pass pro drop-off will be from Charles Cross to Josh Jones. This could be total egg on Facebook.
And another thing is, like, but professional bettors don't look at games like we do. They don't get into matchups a lot. They don't get into like this defensive line. They're very trend focused on, they think very differently. I remember I used to listen to a podcast last year, and it was all based on like history and how teams do and Thursday night football. And I'm guessing a lot of those numbers would be in Seattle's favor.
Yeah.
The home team. Interesting.
Yeah. All right, let's take some patron questions and then we'll do our picks and get you guys out of here. So let me give the first one here to Evan. This is from, I don't know, KYP Duran. Says the game tomorrow is a measuring stick to see where we truly are as a team coming into this season. I'm hoping to see the rise of young players and some blue chip players emerging. That has happened in spades. Now we will see if we are missing something to be truly dominant. So far this season, we have beat ourselves in these losses. So if we don't beat ourselves, we should get a win. Okay, that's not a question. but thank you.
It's not wrong, though.
Let's get to an actual question. Let me find an actual question. I'm not as good at this as Dana or Nathan. All right, so this is Adam 406, and I'm going to give this to you, Evan, still. Everyone has to remember this is the best of three series this year, and the twist of it only matters if you win the third game. First two are only for seeding. If Sam hits reset and is on fire for the rest of the year and plays fine at home against the Rams and win, what's your confidence level? Set all that stuff aside. I think the question is confidence level of Sam versus Rams in the playoffs.
Oh, if he like shows up tomorrow and has like a strong performance.
Yes.
A lot of demons have fallen to the side for me. And all of a sudden I'm in fuck it. We can beat anybody mode. That is the singular biggest thing that could happen tomorrow night outside of winning the football game. If Sam Darnold finds his confidence and just makes on time throws, big time throws, consistently links up with JSN consistently, is deadly in play action, and he doesn't look like he's seeing ghosts. That is the number one thing that would inspire confidence in me moving forward.
Would you have more confidence from that or from them rushing for 150 plus yards?
I would think the rushing for 150 plus yards would be a fluke. So the Sam Darnold thing, because we've seen it before. Okay. We've seen it earlier this year. That's my answer.
Okay. This is for you, Jeff. And let me make sure it's an actual question. This comes from Amy. Hello, Amy. Says, does this crazy rise in the number of dropbacks and the fact that we suddenly shifted to a very little play action make you question Clint Kubiak's ability to scheme against the Rams and 49ers? Feels like he oversinks himself. When should we just do what when we should just do what we do best and let them try to beat that?
Yeah, that's what I was alluding to before. I didn't think Kubiak did a particularly good job in the last Rams game. And I didn't think he did it. I thought he did an awful job in the 49ers game. And when they're not dictating tempo and they're not dictating what this is what we do and we're going to do it, they've kind of fallen backwards. And again, they've been playing a lot of this third and manageable stuff lately. And frankly, I haven't liked it. So I think they have strengths in this game, especially with the receivers. And Shahid has really emerged. I think what he can do and what JSN can do underneath, they should be able to be comfortable dictating some stuff as long as their pass protection isn't a complete disaster. So if they're playing that third and four game against the Rams front and they're just kind of hopelessly helping Darnold find Sam Barner in the middle of the field and they don't have a great receiving tight end, I want them to play action. I watch other teams and there's just so many easy throws sometimes. They should be able to get tight ends in the flat, running backs in the flat, get receivers. Like when I watch the Niners play even now, and they're healthy, you just see so many crossing routes where the guys are just wide open. And this is the tree he came from. That's what the Gary Kubiak offense used to look like on play action. And it just seems like JSN is just kicking everyone's ass, but I want to see more of that down-to-down, just crossing routes, guys running free. I don't think we've seen enough of that, and I think that would really make this offense comfortable, and I think it would really play into Darnold's strengths.
Yeah. Can I share a stat I found since you got me interested on Thursday Night Football? Okay, this is a little weird, but home teams on Thursday night, late in the season, so weeks 12 through 17, late in the season in November and December, weeks 12 through 17, if the home team is also the betting favorite, so all those three things combined, their win rate is 70%.
That makes sense.
That's high. That's really high. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's fascinating to me.
Well, and the Rams are 2-6 in the last since 2021 when the temperature is below 50 degrees.
Really?
Yeah. And they're playing outside.
I love cold weather. I've always loved cold weather. Wow.
This team is built to play in the cold, though.
Jeff, are you turning into a pumpkin right at the hour? Do we have you for 5 minutes past that?
No. I'm good.
Okay. All right. We got a couple more questions and we'll get to our picks. So, there's a quick question I'm going to answer from Nick Esser. Why do we keep, in all caps, why do we keep fair catching punts inside the 10? Mike McDonald addressed this week. The 10-yard line is no longer the line of where the punt returners are not supposed to fair catch. He wouldn't say what it is, but it's not the 10 anymore. And I'm guessing the reasons they've done analysis and they probably found that it leads to balls being downed inside the 5. And so I'm guessing it's like the 7, something like that, but that's why it's happening. Okay. So let's see. Okay. Question for Evan. Sorry. We'll get back to you, Jeff. I really enjoy creators like Perna, Grossi, and Linkowski, and I wish our fan base had a comedic-oriented creator. I think you'd be great at this. Have you thought about going solo, taking this on?
I'm going to be honest. Is this a Twitch thing? Because I actually don't know who those two people are. Apparently.
Grossi and Linkowski.
I hope those aren't like really bad people or something. No, I've got too many commitments, but I appreciate the compliment. That's very kind. I don't know. Maybe one day. Maybe I'll be a Twitch streamer one day.
I would watch.
How funny would that be?
Sam Brown asks, who is perhaps an under the radar X factor for this Thursday night matchup for both teams?
I think Ernest Jones. I think he wasn't particularly healthy in the last game. I think this is going to mean a ton to him. He Daniel Jeremiah said his film was not particularly good this week, and I haven't watched the All 22, and I don't know the answer to that, but I trust DJ and his film, and so I think this is a meaningful game. And on the other side, I'm going to say Colby Parkinson. I think if Devontae's out, he becomes a really important receiver for them. He's getting down the field. Oh, he got that bullshit touchdown call last week that wasn't even close, but yeah, they should have tackled him in space the first time they played them. That was a big miss. And I think they're going to go after Ernest Jones, and I think they're going to go after Drake Thomas in this game. And so those guys are really good getting after the run, but they need to cover those tight ends. And I would say those are the two.
I'd watch out for Cooper Kupp too.
Ooh, revenge game.
Oh, how good would it be for him to win this game? Oh, man.
Yeah.
He didn't really show up much in the at LA.
Not really. He had that one almost touchdown that like skipped it, you know?
Yeah. But, that sucked.
I wouldn't be surprised. Okay, two more here. Hayden Hawks fans, this is for you, Evan. What more can Eamon Worry do to take over the top spot for Defensive Rookie of the Year? It seems like media bias at this point.
Yeah, wasn't there some Cleveland guy or something who was trying to take it over? What's his face again?
Carson Schlesinger.
Oh, my gosh, man. I think you're insane if he's not the front runner, because Eamon Worry is playing like one of the best defenders on Seattle's defense right now. Mm-hmm. He's everywhere. He's an agent of chaos. And whenever there's a tackle for loss, pass breakup, or a big hit, it feels like there's like an 80% chance that Eamon Worry was involved. So he's a phenomenal jersey to get, by the way. Like, I was thinking about JSN for a second, or Zabel, because I need a new jersey for this era, even though I hate jerseys. And I think it's going to be Eamon Worry, to be honest.
I think it's a good pick, and I think he's another guy. It's not as nearly as important, but there's a chance for him to win the reward tomorrow night.
I was going to say, everyone's watching the game tomorrow night.
Prime time.
Don't know how many people are going to see the Panthers game or even maybe the Niners game. I think this is the prime time game where if you've watched him, he has the most fun highlights of any player on the team right now. And the stuff he does is, when you see those like replays, it just blows everyone away. And we were told he's like not a good tackler in space. And some of the stuff he did to like Bijan Robinson and Jonathan Taylor, and he's been unreal, dude.
He's been really, really good.
So this is funny. A super chatter says, Tom Grassi and Brandon Perna have become big personalities on YouTube along with their buddies Clickbait Sports. Perna has a curse wheel that people fear now. That's hilarious. And he cursed the Rams this week. So maybe that moved the line. Maybe the curse wheel did.
I love it. Last question, and then we'll get to super chats. We'll do our picks. Felipe says, this is for you, Jeff. Who should have more runs in this game? I assume he's talking about Charbonnet versus K9.
Sounds like Evan has the runs going into this game.
Oh my God, man.
But I think this has to be a Walker game. I think they're going to need chunk plays in the ground. I know Charbonnet, I love him when he gets the volume, but like you said last game, I've been very frustrated with Walker all year. I thought the Rams game was one of his best moments. And like, I think what Brian said was right. Like, for them to be good on offense, they need him to get those chunk plays, make guys miss in space. I think it could open up the rest of the offense. And so I'm going to say Walker again, even though I was ready to rip his head off the last couple of weeks, but he needs to have a big game. This is his moment.
I hope these are the last few games he plays as a Seattle Seahawk.
Oh, no, Evan, I don't like those vibes.
I'm sorry. I'm there.
It's your call.
I'm kind of there.
You're not alone.
I'm with you.
12 is one says, I've been looking forward to this Rams game all year. Brian, your coverage of the Hawks since the last draft has honestly been second to none. Go Hawks. That is nice of you, man. Appreciate it. Brian Henderson says, any stats to track how good running back vision is? Seems like K9 just cannot hit the right gaps when they're there like other NFL backs do.
Interesting.
There are some things about how many times you actually take the expected route versus other kinds of things. I don't know. So, I don't have it off the top of my head. Christian Fuerte has been a member for 16 months, says, eager to see how Sam plays this game. Go Hawks. Captain Sprinkles says, tomorrow will be my first time attending a Seahawks game. All right. Love the channel. Love the articles. Also, you should get Softy on as a guest. That's right. It's been a while. I'll get Softy on soon. We got a new member in Dave Uwu. Chris Smokehawk, good to see you, Smokehawk, says, can you imagine the 49ers fans rooting for the Hawks tomorrow? It's the only way they can win the division. It is kind of funny. Trapcat says, as Hawks fans, we get to remember, if we lose, don't get too down. One win or a Lions loss, we're in the playoffs for sure. I just think that the line has gone up for us in terms of what success is. It's not just about making the playoffs anymore. I think we all want more than that. And then Jordan says, Pernis Kurzweil is real and dangerous. Teams 99% of the time lose when selected.
Oh, my God, man.
I love that. I love that. All right.
I'm going to do some looking into that Kurzweil. That's funny.
Okay. All right. So some picks and then some official picks. So let's quickly go through our sleeper app here. Anything like, do you guys have any feel?
Yeah, I do. Big game from JSN. Big game.
JSN. So you want to go more than 91 yards?
Over 110. It's going to be a big day.
All right.
I like that Myers.
Where's the Myers?
More than 1.5 field goals.
Easy money. Money printer.
Okay.
This is financial advice.
Oh, I feel like Rashid Shaheed is easy money right now.
Yeah, that's been our cheat code, Brian.
That was an easy one last week. 34.5 yards. I think
it'll be one catch.
That's a good little trio of picks right there. I like that. Folks, if you haven't already, make sure you use promo code HAWKS. Gets you up to $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. Currently operational over 25 states. Check out Sleeper today. All right, guys, let's get our official picks for this game. Jeff, you go first. Who's going to win the game? What's going to be the score?
You know, we made a compelling case for the Seahawks on the show, and I think their defense is going to show up. And I really do think the stats, but I can't really. I'm still at the point where I'm stuck on the Charles Cross thing. And I thought this was like a toss-up game, and that just makes my stomach turn a little bit. And when you combine the offense and the lack of running game with that, I think if I'm making an official pick, I'm going to say the Rams win another close game, and it's going to suck. But I say the Rams win 24-20. I hope our guy from Twitch proves me wrong. I hope I'm not the 1% that's right. If I have to guess, I'm going to say it. I think Darnold does play more competently, but I just trust Stafford over Darnold at this point.
Evan.
We all know I'm not a logical person. So I'm going to go with my heart on this one. And I'm going to go with the vibes. Okay. I'm going to disregard the logic, the methodology, the rationale, the reasoning, all the really fancy arguments. They're gone. They're to the wayside. I think this Puka stuff has OBJ on the boat type of vibes. You guys remember that Giants football team? Remember the boat picture? Remember that this feels similar. I think the Seahawks come close to obliterating the Rams tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football. I think they win by over 10 points. I really do. I think it's going to be a low scoring game though. I'm going to go like 23-10 Seahawks.
Okay.
Which would be a pretty shocking result. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also going to pick the Seahawks. I think there's a lot of reasons in my mind that there's adjustments that the Seahawks can make. I'm not sure what the adjustments are that the Rams are going to make. Maybe they will. Maybe they will run the ball more frequently, more effectively than they did the first time. Because if they do, then it'll be hard for the Seahawks. But I believe the Seahawks are in the right mindset. I think they've been waiting for this game. I think you've got guys on that side that are going to want it more than guys on the other side. I honestly believe that. And it doesn't mean that the other guys aren't professional, as they don't, you know, like going to play hard. But there's something to this game for everyone in that locker room that's a little bit more than it is for the Rams. And so I think that's going to be enough for them to get this win. I think it's going to be a close one, but I think the Seahawks win 24-17 final score in this one. And put themselves in position to try to get that number one seed. So, man, boys, I cannot wait. I can't wait.
I'm so nervous.
It's the biggest Seahawks game maybe since like 2014.
It's been a long time. And like, let's hope they play themselves proud and we're not talking about some kind of embarrassing thing again. Like, first game was so good outside of those four really bad things, you know, like get rid of those things.
This is a good, damn good team. Like, we shouldn't be talking about embarrassing. I agree.
Yeah. We also have the better wide receiver one, so we should be confident.
Yeah, well, he's at least not streaming right now, so that's a good thing. All right, everybody, that will do it. Evan Hill at Evan Hill HB, Jeff Simmons at Real Jeff Simmons. Take care. Have a great rest of your night.